Hello and welcome to the Gamerland Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. This is episode 530. With me, as always, is the one, the only, the sexiest. Oh, man, I'm angry. I can't pull that right now.
What are you?
I'm trying to pull the, what's the name of, Tom.
Yeah!
Better late than never. That's what Daddy says. The sexiest Tom ever. TheKevinMiller.com. Jump for a circle button, Kevin.
Thank you, Justin Worsham. Do you plan to cut me open and sleep in my insides?
If I could.
If it was legal. If we lived in Utah, I would have done it already.
I don't understand what that means.
I picked that state because my mother rode on the back of a motorcycle topless, and it's the most conservative state, I think. Like that's
yeah, it's pretty. It's up there.
Yeah. I think they don't allow booze in it.
Funny enough, when I visited once, I wanted to go to a restaurant and looked into my GPS, and it had, like, the nearest listings, there were two that were, like, they call them private clubs. And I was like, that, in my circles, means, like, a gentleman's club.
Yeah.
Like, you pay money to go see boobies.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to go anywhere near that. So I ended up eating,
it's
like,
the only place to get booze, my friend.
That's what it is. I ended up eating at a KFC because at those clubs, they're private clubs because they can sell alcohol. If you are privately a club, you pay a membership to be a part of the club, a one-time fee, and then you can purchase alcohol.
So it's the same as a cover charge.
Except for that it's like for TGI Fridays. Like anything
is a private club.
Is a private club if you want to sell alcohol in it.
So TGI Fridays or Chili's has to charge a cover charge to get into
their
bar.
One time. And then you get like a club membership. I'm serious. So
you get put on their list.
So I had a friend who's like,
it's like getting a pot card here in California.
Yeah, you gotta know somebody that knows somebody. So or pay whatever it is, $10 or the cover charge. Or the membership charge, just to get a drink. So you're like, the beer is like $5. And you can't get it at a liquor store.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thanks a lot. Salt Lake City.
I want to say, before we get into this, is that I feel like I unfairly did not mention Sam's name in our list of people that would still listen just because they found the show because of Sly.
I did.
You did?
I did. I said it would be the five
members.
I'm
going to edit that out then.
From last week.
He doesn't deserve to be mentioned twice.
He can be mentioned twice.
Really?
Here's how bad. You've been holding on to that for a while now.
Yeah.
And you finally just let that out.
45 minutes
Sam hasn't been
hurt. For 7 days. I thought he was enraged for 7 days until I hit record.
Mm-mm.
And then now I know.
No.
Now
the future is the past.
Now I know he's doubly elated.
Time is now.
Oh my gosh, I just had an idea. What if we had a fan contest?
I like this.
It would be great if we knew what we had talked about on this show, and we had like trivia.
Yeah.
And then like the winner could come
and stay
in the guest house.
We don't even know what we're talking about in this show when we're talking about.
I know, right?
I love this idea though.
Right.
Of somebody winning the opportunity to sleep in the Gamerland Podcast Studios.
Yeah. Where we've done all of four episodes in our 8-year history or whatever.
Well, this is the most consistent. This is Gamerland now.
Yeah.
This is what it looks like. There's not as many rides as I thought, but there's a lot more foam tiles.
Mm-hmm.
So it works
out. Which is kind of a ride.
It's nice.
It's a ride in what Disneyland is a ride, where you just kind of sit here and experience it. Any one of these tiles could fall on you, as we've seen, in any moment.
Have I talked about how I got to see the sketch of Disneyland on the show?
No.
Have I not mentioned that?
No,
life-changing moment? Okay, so we have the Getty here in Los Angeles. It's one of the gems of living in LA. It's so
funny. Is that like a ghetto Yeti?
Yes. He's like, hey guys, can I drink beer and sleep on your couch? Ghetto superstar.
Which real quick, I'm sorry, I know I keep sidetracking, but we've been watching the Superman movies with Christopher Reeve or whatever. And so in the first one, John Ratzenberger is like one of the Navy pilots. Like he has three lines in the movie. And I thought it's funny because Jacob likes this stuff. I go, you see that guy right there? That's the voice of the Yeti. He is in every Pixar movie. And he's like, what? I go, and I should have said the truck in Cars.
Yeah, that'd help.
But I go, the Yeti. I go, remember? I go, welcome to the Himalayas. And he goes, oh, cool.
Wow.
I go, that's him when he was young.
Okay, so here in Los Angeles, we have the Getty, and I have never been living in LA for whatever, 8 years now, and it's on my like bucket list of things to do in Los Angeles. It's a very touristy thing when you come. There's billions of French and Japanese and German people, but very few natives, which is a shame because it's It's like a giant free museum. You just have to pay parking, and then you get to ride this tram ride and wander around these gardens, and it's gorgeous. They think they're done now, but they had an exhibit through the spring and the summer that was called Overdrive, and it was architectural history in Los Angeles from the 1940s to the 1990s as the city developed, you know, after when the movie business was really taking off, and then through the 1990s and then pretty much up to the beginning of this millennium.
That's cool.
It was really great. So they had all these architectural drawings of like early concept designs for LAX, the airport here, and what they were, and then the history of it, and how if you've been to LAX, we have a double-decker driveway or loop that goes around all the terminals. The double-decker was built in the 1984 Olympics when the Olympics were here in Los Angeles, and then the international airport was added on to, but before that it was, they had all these other ideas of what they were going to do to it. They have sketches of or drafts of buildings that were never built at all, and then other stuff that you're like, oh, that became this, and some really great topographical maps that show the history of roads being built or freeways being built in Los Angeles and the ethnicities that have developed over time, and really great stuff. And one of the things is, I was wandering through this exhibit, killing time, just turn around the corner, and there's a picture, the original sketch of Disneyland. I was like, ah, yeah, like you got the real thing.
That was supposed to be in Burbank, or?
So and I walk up to it, and it's the legit thing. It's the real thing. So the way it broke down way back in the day, so the Disneyland was built in 1955. That's when it opened. So somewhere in like early 50s. I think the sketch is 52. And I'm blanking on the name, even though I know it really well. Herbert Rines or something. He was working at Disney. So the way they built Disneyland is that, I mean, Disney was making reasonable amount of success creating these animated films. And so he owned this partition of land, which is now part of the hospital where both of our children are born. So
and the zoo and the park.
Yeah, so they and a freeway and a school. Mm-hmm. So it was a substantial chunk of land in what was a rising.
I didn't know that Burbank has a Disney elementary school.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
That
makes sense.
And it's a public school. It is the Walt Disney elementary
because of
school.
What he did for the city, for sure. So he had this idea, well, I own this land, clearly we don't need to build. He's like, what if we build a little park here? You might have seen this come about if you've been to Disneyland, heard any of the stories. So they began to develop this idea, and it just caught fire within their department. And then they were like, well, he said, okay, let's take the restrictions off of this chunk of land, and if you could do anything, what would you design? And so they came up with all these crazy ideas like Frontierland and the World of Tomorrow and, you know, a Main Street and Adventureland and Pirate Island and stuff. The idea it became to grew and grew and grew and grew and grew. So they like, well, this seems like a crazy endeavor for us to do, and we don't want to lose our movie company. So Walt Disney and created a new company that was removed from the Disney Motion Pictures and called it WED Enterprises, which stood for Walt Disney Walt Entertainment Development or something, Entertainment Designs or something, or WED, which is now called Imagineering, and it's been reincorporated into the larger Disney company. But it was to shell and protect, so the company could have bankrupted, but
he wouldn't lose the movie stuff.
Yeah, that
was
still
a separate corporation.
New thing. But he was using the people who made cartoons, who knew how to draw pictures. They weren't architects and engineers. They were theater people and artists. And so he sat down with this one guy, and he's like, I'm going to meet some investors in New York on Monday. It's Friday. I'm going to take them the plan that we have for Disneyland. And the designer's like, that's great. I'd love to see that plan. And he goes, oh, no, you don't understand. You're drawing the plan. And he's like, no, I'm not. He's like, no, you have all weekend. He's like, I can't do it unless you stay with me and we'll work on it in the weekend. So the two of them spent 48 hours drafting this enormous, it's like maybe 5 feet by 5 feet unrolled thing of Disneyland. And it started off with like, they have like a side view, like kind of just sketch of the thing, and then a blown up, incredibly detailed drawing of this concept of Disneyland. At the time, You know, it's easy for us because we're like, oh, I know what Disneyland, I've been to a theme park.
There was no such thing as a theme park, am I right?
There was not a thing. Yeah, we had parks, but even the term theme park wasn't a term. Like, if you said,
amusement park or anything.
If I said space park, like, you can pull that idea together with what you knew. It's just like Coca-Cola. There was no cola when Coke was invented. It's not a juice.
Yeah.
It's not coffee. I don't know what this thing is. They didn't have any design, so they had to create this whole idea of this living, breathing city that had rides in it. It didn't make any sense. And it's funny. The story goes that they then made this drawing. They flew out to New York and showed this, and it's what got investors interested in putting money into the park.
To make it happen.
Then the story goes that they lost the drawing for decades, and they found it hidden somewhere in an old archive. They were cleaning out an office, and then behind a cabinet, they were like, what's this? Oh, my gosh. It's the original sketch.
Guys, we got it, guys.
So I turn the corner and walk and land. I'm holding tears back from my eyes. Yeah, this is it. What's his name?
I don't know. It didn't say that.
I wish I could pull up his name because it's.
Let me go back. Keep talking. I'm sorry.
If no matter what picture you pull up online, it will not do it justice. There is not a high.
I'm seeing it.
I've seen it in person
because it's the scale of
it's in books and stuff. I knew it the moment I saw. I knew exactly what it was, but I had no idea the amount of I'm not lying to you. Holding back tears, being so close to this, to see the love and the artistry and the whimsy and the craft and the cleverness poured into this. 48-hour sketch that they put together. I mean, the vision that came behind these guys, and everywhere you look, I just stared at it for a half hour. People would come up and walk around me, and then move on to the point where I loved it so much. Kat and I came back 3 weeks later just so I could stare at it
from his initials,
hour.
Walter Elias Disney.
Oh, that's what
DeWitt is from.
I think later they then changed it to be some sort of other acronym. What is the dude's name?
I'm still listening, though.
So, you know, in Adventureland, there, you stare and you're like, oh, my gosh, it's a little octopus there, like grabbing something. And then there's a little farm area where there's people with things on their head. And then up in Frontierland, there's Indians fighting with cowboys or doing
Herb
a little
Ryman.
Trouble. Yeah, Herb Ryman. And then over in Lillipolutionland, you see people on a little cart. And then in the back of the thing, behind Fantasyland, this enormous, beautiful castle is a pirate ship. And you can see it in the picture. There's the pirate ship. There's the castle. If you could look in here, there are pirates storming into Fantasyland doing all this crazy stuff.
Wow.
And everywhere you look, the detail on Main Street is ridiculous. Some of it is so precise that the tower that you come into the train station Main Street USA is exactly how it is today. Like it retained its amazing beauty. And it's funny because I could tell what stuff was made by Herbert, you said, and what stuff is made by Walt Disney. Because Herbert's stuff is so detailed, so precise, the perspective, the dimensions. And then Walt clearly came in and was like, and there's a train here. And it's all like out of proportion to the rest of the drawing, and it makes no sense. And then next to this is like entire vignette being presented that's all done by Herbert. And it is... Oh, then scroll down. So the name, this caught my eye towards the end. You can't see it on this crappy thing, but at the very bottom left-hand corner, they made this like unfurling scroll that says Disneyland and then architectural design or something. And halfway through writing, it's got these like old-timey letters in the word Disneyland, and then it says something like schematic of something. And they started to fill in the S, the C, and the I on schematic, what are the first three or four letters of schematic, and then stopped filling them in. And it's so funny because they could have erased it. They could have done anything. So it either suggests that halfway through they're like, oh, we don't want to bold these letters because it's making them pop out, and then they decided not to erase it too much. Or, as our friend Jeremy Costello guessed, they probably just didn't have time. Mm-hmm. That they were filling in, they're like, F it, we're done.
Yeah, we're good.
That's enough, that's enough.
It's a 5x8 piece of paper that we've drawn everything on.
Yeah, exactly. Leave it alone. Yeah. We have so much else going on. The thing that's great about it, too, is that the park was originally designed with the idea of it being encased exclusively within the train tracks. We've been to Disneyland here in California since then. The park spills over the train tracks. There's lots of parts where you're on the other side of the train. If you look at opening day pictures, immediately on the other side of the train tracks is orchards, working orchards. Now that's all owned by Disney, and there's like all sorts of stuff. There's the, you know, the buildings that house everything, but on opening day, they owned just the parcel of land with Disneyland on it. And if you looked outside of Disneyland, it was working orchards, and eventually then a hotel and everything else as it began to grow. So the fascinating psychology that I enjoyed standing there was the level of interest that people would have in it. Some people would look at it and move on, which is fine because it's not their cup of tea. Many, many people would look at it and then go, oh, Disneyland, and then begin to critique the drawing as if it were wrong. Hmm. Because the layout has changed. This was a 2 years before they had this is probably at least 2 years before they
So you're saying they would critique it that the drawing is wrong because they
know what Disneyland's layout is.
And this
does
not understanding that preceded the actual building?
They understood it, but the way
or
they
is
articulated
it flexing the muscle of knowledge saying, well, this is supposed to be here. And
that's
this
what they're saying. This is supposed to be there, this is supposed to be there. But without, to your point, the respect to the fact that they made this shit up. This was all from their imaginations. And the fact that you can look at this and go, oh, no, that's over there and that's over there, speaks volumes to how brilliant they were. Because all they did was go, you know what, maybe Adventureland should be over there. They invented an Adventureland in this drawing. And you were able to go, oh, well, that's not quite right.
This hot air balloon here, is that a real ride? that's what stuck out for me.
That's what a lot of people said. They're like, oh, they thought of hot air balloon rides. And I think that maybe there was an attempt at some point to put out a balloon ride, but it was probably like an idea of like breaking. It definitely breaks up the skyline.
Yeah.
It breaks up the mountains in the background. It draws your eyes into the park, and it just creates sort of like an iconic thing of like, oh, we're having fun here. This isn't some weird storybook puzzle. Like this is, there's a lot of different elements. And plus it's a little Wizard of Oz, which was pretty popular at the time. So there are people that would do that and then move on from it. There would be some people that would come up and then begin to dump all of their stories about their adventures in Disneyland to the people that were with them. This one lady just began to go on and on about how they would go every summer with their family and what rides she loved. And her friend is like, I'm trying to look at this piece of art. And I guess that she wasn't from LA because it certainly wasn't super special. But I was like, you're missing the point of why this is hanging here. This is a piece of architectural genius that was hidden behind a cabinet, and all you want to talk about is how you love to go on Star Tours or whatever. The two visits that I had and the over hour that I spent standing there, I mean, I trained out three guards one time, three different security guards. I got so close to the thing that one of the guards came up and said, I need you to be about this far away. I said, absolutely, no problem. He said, you're setting off the alarm. I said, no problem.
Really?
Silent
alarm?
Silent alarm. He was probably tripping somewhere, and he knew it. So Pearls Before Swine, and I'm certain that there are people that came by and had the same emotional resonance to it, but it was so special for me because I've experienced a lot of things. Having worked in theme parks and been a part of the entertainment industry on the peripheral as we have for so long, it takes a lot to wow me. You know, I've worked at Disneyland. I know a lot about it. But I've seen that picture to the point where I almost walked by it because I knew
it was such,
whatever. But I thank God I stepped so close to be able to enjoy it. I haven't experienced this yet, but I can understand what people say happens when they see the Michelangelo's David, of like how it just comes to life in a way that it isn't supposed to be possible, that and no picture can do it justice. That's what this did for me, in a very pop culturally way.
It's interesting though, just like he's a person that has touched so many people's like inner child and souls and all that stuff that it's
like George Lucas.
Yeah, and it's just crazy.
The thing is,
people have an emotional reaction to it,
and it's very planned, or it was a decision that was made because it was really him and his brother, but they decided somewhere along the line that he needed to be the face of the Disney company, and he wasn't too thrilled about that, but he's a good salesman, he's a good visionary, and he ended up being the right guy for the job, you know, and he has an amazing story. Before the Disney company, he and his brother had the the Disney Brothers animation studio, which failed and failed miserably. And his response to that was go start a new company somewhere else. I mean, what kind of chutzpah? I mean, it's the middle of the end of the Black 30s. Wait, what is it? The Depression. It's the end of the Depression. He's losing money hand over fist in a company, and he goes, you know what I need to do? Start a new company.
Yeah.
Most people turn their tail between their legs and give up. Not him. He kept going along. So other things that are great about this, they then made a much more famous
sketch.
I sent
you this link. What I'm reading here is it's that I then asked John if there were any tricks of the trade where when it came to putting together the sorts of early theme park concept paintings. And Hench said, it's all about distracting people, putting something in there that catches their eye.
Yeah.
In the original Disneyland painting, we put in a red observation balloon. People noticed that, but not the yet-to-be-designed part of Disneyland that was directly below and behind that balloon. So I'd have to say that was a successful bit of misdirection.
Nice, that's good.
According to what Hench told me, this balloon gag was thought to be so successful on Disneyland's concept painting back in 1954 that ever since then, the Imagineers have used the same bit of artistic bait and switch over and over again. Whenever they need to hide the fact that the theme park, which they were doing concept painting of, wasn't fully designed or developed yet. So they would just put a balloon.
Just stick a red balloon in there.
In the middle of an area that they were like, ooh, we don't know what's going to happen.
That's pretty
here.
Clever. It didn't happen in that original sketch because it was on the skyline. So they must have, they used that a little later.
No, I think, what he's saying is the area below it.
Well, see, in the original, the black and white sketch, see, it's above.
No,
the park.
But that's his point is to say directly below. Oh. Here,
I thought
I think this area is what he's saying, that it was not really designed.
That might be true. Well, that's funny. That's probably true because the back part of this is a park.
Yeah.
Like they didn't have an idea for that area. So later on, they built, this is Disney World, I actually think. Later on when they started to design the Disneyland, what goes on from there is that they get the money from the investors, the thing takes off, and then there's a very famous painting of Disneyland where they used blacklight coloring painting on it. And so you could look at it in a bright room like this and then flash blacklight on it, mm-hmm. and it would look like the park would at night. So they essentially painted the same painting twice.
Wow.
And the thing that we don't know, because we were born in the late 70s and 80s, and all this stuff happened 20 to 30 years before we were born. That might be the drawing.
That's it. It says Peter Ellen Shaw painting the now famous blacklight image of Disneyland.
Yep.
So if you want to find this, just look through jimhillmedia.com if you do a search for original Disneyland sketch.
So he used that famous Disneyland sketch, the one with the black light, Disney did every Sunday night on a show called The Wonderful World of Disney. Mm-hmm. And all it was a 30-minute or hour-long commercial for what they were thinking to do in Disneyland. It's an infomercial. Mm-hmm. And it captivated the nation. So when the park opened on May 5th, 1955, they had invited something like 8,000 people, and 80,000 people showed up. It was something ridiculous.
Wow.
And it was supposed to be a soft opening, but it's because the entire nation knew that it was coming. And then there's some fun stories, like they had there was a plumber strike within the union within Anaheim at the time, and so they were forced to choose between fixing the bathrooms, getting the bathrooms ready, or the water fountains. They chose the bathrooms, mm-hmm. But nobody knew this, so that none of the water fountains broke. So everybody were super cynical, even in the 50s, and said, "Well, clearly Disney just wanted us to buy sodas instead of making the water fountains work." Another great early Disneyland story. He went around to the plot of land, and Disney and his crew drew red X's on every tree that they wanted demolished and green X's on every tree that could stay, that would be a part of the park. Why destroy trees that they plan to put a park there? They hired a tree cutter who, not kidding you, is colorblind and destroyed every tree in the entire park, because if you're colorblind, you can't differentiate green or red X's. They all look like X's. So they then come in after the trees are gone and are like, oh, crap! So they had to go, you know, all over the countryside buying trees to replant them in the soil so that they can then use those.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's what I, like, I just, everything about, I remember being older, like going as a kid and just liking it, and then going older, and then you see like what you thought was boring, like little snippets of him talking about Disneyland or like the Disney suite and all that stuff. Like, and it's interesting to see grown men building something for children And then I just wish there was something that I could think of that you could compare it to. Like, I want to see a failed attempt at this. You don't need to try and figure out what it was that was their lightning in a bottle. Hmm. What did they hit? What did they connect with? Because it resonates with so many people.
I think you're onto something here, because we've seen a really big shift in the culture in Americana towards imaginative things, yeah, towards nerdy things. And I've always attributed that a lot of that to Star Wars, and I think that's still very true, that you captivated a young audience, and we've now grown up. And we were the ones that were kicked and made fun of, and now we're having children. So, and superhero movies are super popular, and all these things are starting to tip that way. But I think it would be hard to deny that something like Disneyland set the soil for that, to be able to say, imaginative things can be so accessible that I can make it a real physical place that you can visit. And that is exciting to any, whether or not you think robots are cool, the yeah, idea of, like, I could go to this place that only exists in my, that someone would take the time to build a place that I can walk through at my own leisure, mm-hmm, and make it this creative. I think that kind of started to turn the direction of things until now. You know, 60 years later, they're building video games that re-engineer the entire park, like brick to brick. You can play Disneyland Connect, yeah, and walk through a cyber, exactly, version, exactly, of this brilliant idea.
It's funny too, because they have like concept art on here for like a never built Disney's America theme park project, and then there's another one here.
Oh, where was that going
to
be?
I don't know. It doesn't describe that, but that's, I would have, funny, to do some more research into it. But then there's another one here that was a concept of a never built Disney Seas theme park. I don't know
that would be on the water.
Yeah, this article, that's, seems cool, to be about what the people who worked at Disney drawing concept art,
yeah,
and like what tricks they used to, excuse me, hide things. Like, he talks about how they use clouds to fill blank spots,
right,
and
right,
shafts,
right,
of light to distract you from,
which is all concept art stuff is anyway, yeah, to create an idea, not necessarily a plan.
Well, I think that's what this Jim Hill Media thing is, but just interesting.
It's funny then to go back to what we were talking about last week about you can't, when you're a comic book artist, you can hide behind the art, but you can't as a storyboard artist. As a concept artist, your entire job is to hide behind the art.
Yeah.
It's convey the general idea and allow, it's like reading a book to allow your imagination to fill in the blanks, but with a picture.
Yeah.
Make it so epic that I can feel it in my, mm-hmm, soul, but don't give us a lot of detail.
Yeah, because if you overfill, then I could go, no, I don't like it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I fill it in.
Yeah.
It's like watching the first season of Lost. You're like, ah, oh, what could happen? I bet I know. And by season six, you're like, this was, no.
Yeah, this is not what I signed up for.
Season three, really, is where it, season six was okay.
Yeah. Remember that time when we did a video game podcast? That was good.
I brought up video games. So I have desperately been trying to find.
That wasn't a note. Here's what happens. I have little voices in my head that are the audience sometimes, and I think
they're good to listen to.
No, I don't honestly think that there are people that listen to the show.
Tell
like,
us
why aren't
like
you guys talking
five
about video games? I think that there are people who listen like, oh, that's good, and then when I say things like, oh, remember they did the show, they go, oh, that's funny, yeah, yeah,
yeah, that's right, that's right. That's about video games.
You can't listen to the show and not expect it to go off the rails a little bit.
Yeah, because we're not professional.
Yeah, where's this picture?
This is a stupid website.
Yeah.
The thing about video games, I was going to, yeah, say something that connected it back to video games.
I don't know.
Made it at all relevant to something. Whose baby is that?
That's my baby. Oh. That's my older baby.
Oh, gosh, you're so tiny.
This part is not interesting to the listener. That's what the voice just told me. They said, I don't care about your babies. I want to hear about what Kevin's thought is. Get to Kevin's thought. Help him.
That might have been the most talking I've ever done on the show.
Help him
wasn't the whole episode, is it? You have the thing open like we're about to wrap up?
No, not at all. help him. I was just getting out of the web to stop making me interested in looking at concept art of Disneyland. Help him figure out what he was tying back to Disneyland. You said you mentioned video games and then started because you were talking about the Kinect Disneyland games.
It's all
did
gone
not
now.
Have to do any
it's
of
all
that.
Gone now. It's all good.
I don't. What are you playing now?
Oh, very good. Segway.
Forced. Shoehorn. Broken microphone stand. Everything is dead.
I'm sorry. I'm
the
sorry,
world is
I'm
over.
I'm
it
sorry.
Is ended.
Oh. So what I was trying. That's what it was. It's
You're
not
welcome.
Terribly video game related, but I have been trying to find a a reprint of
like
that.
Like a print of
like
that.
An actual large version. Because I talked to some people, like, well, it was hanging in Disneyland. And it was. I'd seen it in Disneyland, too, at the Abraham Lincoln exhibit. But it was 20 feet away behind a giant plane of plexiglass, kind of tilted down from the ceiling. This, I could get so close that had I been jerk enough, could have touched the glass that it was sitting 1 inch behind. So I asked our friend who works at Google if they can get me a copy of the Google glasses before they come out that have the capability of videotaping things. Okay. He wouldn't loan them to me. But I was like,
but you can't get a print of it? Like,
See, I own books with it, but a lot of times, even if they make a big print of it, there's a crease going right down the middle of the book, and even then, it doesn't do justification.
Oh, so you can't get a poster of it.
There's no poster of this that I can find, and I spend a lot of time on eBay, Amazon, looking at all the normal places, but that's a challenge to listeners. Find this thing, because I will pay dollars for it.
Well, you heard it, Canada, so get on it, Brooke. Speaking of which, a couple weeks ago, your stuff was all mailed out to you guys. Whatever you have sent into us that we've received.
I haven't checked it in about 10 days. So
yeah.
By the time you hear this, it's been a little over 2 weeks.
Yeah, and stop sending us stuff that doesn't have a return address with a postage.
Self-addressed, stamped envelopes.
I feel like I don't know, maybe it makes me sound like a jerk, but it's just like, when you pay for the thing, and then people, I understand you want autographs, and I want to give them to you, obviously not of me, but of Kevin. But at the same time, it's like, I don't want to pay for you to have an autograph.
I had a sunburn over the weekend, so I can peel off chunks of my skin and sign those.
Good.
Yeah, that'll be good.
That'll
None
be
of
good.
That was
And it's
true.
Cheaper to mail.
I put a stamp
and
on one side.
You can clone your own Sly Cooper talker.
You could mail a soccer ball.
Why is that not your email address?
Soccer ball?
No, Sly Cooper talker.
It just rolls off the tongue. Sly Cooper talker.
At gmail.com.
You know, also at Disneyland, you can play video games in Imaginarian Topia.
Excuse me?
Yeah, there's a little like World of Tomorrow thing, and you can go inside and they have video. That's how they get you to come in, because the exhibit is so lowly attended. They're like, there's free video games inside. You go in and they have like an Xbox.
Oh, is that the one that spins constantly?
Yeah, yeah.
Where
used to be the Carousel
Osimo
of Progress.
Is.
Yeah. Yeah, you've seen Osimo?
Yeah.
Pretty great.
I've seen Osimo like 4 or 5 times.
Oh, do your kids love it?
I haven't taken Jack to. Jacob went when he was like the first time he went to Disneyland, but we
he thought it was
back.
Cool.
It's lowly attended.
It is very, and it's a shame too, because it's pretty cool, with the exception of all the Disney elements of it. But they make it all this like kitschy World of Family of Tomorrow with you're in there living. I don't understand why they have the need to force a very plasticky story into everything. Like, just show the robot off. It's gonna be okay. I will survive without.
Hey. Take the money you paid for whatever jerk wrote this plasticky story and put it into making that robot do a backflip,
yeah.
And we're in.
Here's the thing. Having worked there, I can say this and all, because I know. I know the people that are making the decisions and how uncreative they are. I will show two stories
oh,
with you
boy.
Right now. Here they come. Number one, I used to do the laughingstock cowboy western show in Tomorrowland. It was weird. Very poorly put together in Frontierland. And so they were working.
Welcome to this barbecue made out of snow peas.
It's the future. So,
but the future. Pew, pew, pew.
So they were working out a thing where the director of the show, who is also a cast member, was like, I want to take the show to the next level. I think a great way to do that is if we could do this little bit and there's a thing happening, but we're going to need to install some music. I want something that can do some sound cues. I think it'll really kind of liven it up. It'll seem less like we're an accidental show and more like an intentional show if we have some music and things in it. And the execs who were probably worked over in the hot dog area of the park that got promoted to entertainment for some reason are like, this guy, I'll never forget this. This guy allegedly said, well, I'm no actor and I don't know much about the theater world, but couldn't you have the audience make that music with their mouths? To which the director in a room full of other execs just goes, no. And it was reported back to me that the guy actually was surprised, like not used to being told that his crazy dumb ideas were any good. And he even kind of said it in a way of like, here's an out of the box idea that you probably weren't
capable
of thinking about,
yeah.
Because you're so myopic and going,
you don't have an MBA.
That is a terrible idea. So these are the people that are making these decisions. Like, can't the audience do your sound cue for you? We should have the listeners do the sound cues for us. Mm-hmm. And now, please make the sound of a fart. Good job. Welcome
well done,
to the show. The other thing was...
It's sad that I kind of like that idea. Like, That part of it, I don't know why. In an audio medium.
Yeah, it's different.
I can't hear what they're doing. Now, that to me is very interesting. That's
called Dora the Explorer. Can you make the sound of a penguin? No, what's good job? I didn't do anything. Am I failing this test? The other thing is a member of our cast goes, we had swings where you'd work in several different shows all at the same time. And he goes, okay, at this show, there is a game of musical chairs. And at the end of the game, there are two chairs. He said, they're also doing that exact same bit over at the teacup birthday party and the Frontierland Indium thing. But instead of chairs, they're totem squats. He then went on to list. He's like, by the end of it, he said, there are seven shows happening in this park where the people are being asked to play musical chairs, where the ending have two chairs. This is Disneyland. People pay thousands of dollars to travel all over the country to get into the park.
And
their brilliant idea
he's
is...
He's not pointing it out to say, guys, we need to work on this. He's saying...
He can't. He's just an actor. He was just like me.
I see. So it is an actor who's saying, just so you know, this has become a convention.
Yeah.
In the same way that our Nickelodeon guy... would have four cool games, and then the scoring would always be, this one could lead, everybody could win
either
the
way.
Last one. Yeah.
The difference being is that the people weren't generally seeing the same show every
right,
time.
Right, again and
because
again.
Because it would be the same show for a year.
Hey, this is that same bit with Cowboys. Hey,
exactly.
This is that same bit with Space
The difference
people.
Is you have asked somebody to literally drop $2,000 to $4,000 to get their family to stay there, to visit there for several days, to spend the night in hotels, to eat food in their expensive overpriced restaurants, to enjoy the entertainment in an ambiance to experience the same thing in seven locations.
Well, see,
the park.
Like to me, when the park that we worked at together, A Great America, it made sense if the shows weren't that good because you were there for the rides.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if you go to Disneyland, that is an entertainment juggernaut.
Yeah.
So the rides need to be great. But the shows, to me, need to be phenomenal.
They have to be top notch.
Yeah, like
because
just
it's
incredible.
Which
why it was interesting. They have a California Adventure. They have like an Aladdin Broadway musical-esque show.
Ish.
Yeah, and I was impressed with the production of it and what they put into it. And even
the choice I enjoyed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It seems to me it's like this is as close as we can execute at a theme park. But you would think that if your theme park is Disneyland, you know, then maybe they could do, like, why not just do a Broadway
musical?
Well,
and name the Disney-themed Broadway musicals.
Yeah.
Lion King.
Yep.
I mean, it's not like they're not making musicals.
Yeah.
Like, where are those people?
But that's the thing too. But it's like I like that show, and I think it comes back to a business decision where it's the same thing as like on a cruise ship they talk about on that documentary. So where it's like we are the thing though that doesn't draw in money directly.
Yeah.
Like that's why there's not
retail,
a lot of money to put in there.
Refreshments and food. Those are the people making the cash. Have you ever brought your Vita to Disneyland?
No, is it?
Oh,
fun?
It's pretty great. It's pretty great. It's cool because I've got the 3G, and I can see who's around me. When I'm like, oh, hey, there's a Vita player over
really?
There.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That part would be fun.
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
There, I made
what
it about
What year does
games.
Wi-Fi have hit Disneyland?
That's a great—I doubt that doesn't seem to fit their marketing. Like, maybe in downtown Disney, you could probably get a place that's got free Wi-Fi, but they don't want you camping out on a laptop.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Not for to camp out on a— That's what I'm saying. At what point does, like, an app become such an integral part of Disneyland— that they then offer free Wi-Fi in the whole park.
When they realize that it's uneconomical to print maps and that people can do it on their phones. I don't think there is an official Disneyland app for walking around the park, which is a misstep, really. Mm-hmm. Because how cool it'd be. You'd have all these hidden Mickey things. And that's the thing about the park. Look, I'm not dissing Disney any more than anybody else, but the reality is, having worked there again, they're a dinosaur of a company that is just oversized and has so many hangers-on, clinging, sucking the life out of Disney because it can handle it like a whale with barnacles stuck to it. Is so many of the employees, the people just justifying jobs for doing nothing left and right, and so these out of the box big ideas that they just don't have to do them, like apps and, you know, better ways to get people from the parking lot to the front door, you know, and seven musical chair games. They don't have to do them because there is no fight in them. There's no reason. They own Star Wars. They bought Star Wars. They bought Marvel.
And Iron Man. And they own Tony Stark.
They own him. They own millionaire playboy philanthropist genius. Mm-hmm. They own him. They all, you know, they
Can
own
you
ESPN.
Imagine the tech is going to hit Disneyland now that they own Iron Man?
Man, when Darth Vader fights Thanos, it's going to hurt my brain.
I got a cavity.
That's great. For a while, I wanted the new word instead of being like cool or sweet to be candy. That's candy. Ooh, yeah. That's good, but I like. But it always felt too sexual.
But it's so candy that it gives you a cavity.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, I just got a cavity. Yeah. That's good. That's good.
From how sweet that is.
Thanks for spelling it out.
Well, I feel like I have to be the dummy that does. I feel like that's my role here. I guess to bring back, this is what I do if I feel like I've hit a point where I can't add to Disney because I never worked there. I've only been there. And as a participant, now as a father, it changes for me. But see, that's a whole other show. But it's like, as a father, like I go there and it's just a money suck. Like, that's what it comes. It's a money suck where when you first take your kid there a few times, you get to watch the magic in their eyes, and then that kind of
And then fades. It becomes just a thing you have to use as a lobby chip against their misbehaving. Don't do that or no Disneyland.
Well, or it becomes a fight of why they can't eat cotton candy all day.
Well, tell me this. Like, I use movies as a scale for justifying money. Now, I'm willing to pay at around here $12.50 or $18 for two-ish hours of entertainment to go see a film. That's how I justify buying it. Like, that's how I know if I can play a video game that's going to cost me $60, then that needs to have at least, what is that, six hours of entertainment. I have to be able to enjoy it for at least 6 hours for me to be, like, worth spending $60 on. If I'm going to play it for 5 minutes, don't get it.
Yeah.
Or if I can beat it in an hour or lose interest in an hour, don't get it. But now I only pay for games that I know I will spend 10, 20, or play for the rest of my life. Like, I still play Split Second and Guild Wars 1 and StarCraft whenever the fancy strikes. Disneyland is a one-time pass into the park, or a year-long pass into the park with major restrictions, plus the additive expenses of parking, depending on the level of the pass, food, drink, and then souvenirs or whatever catches your eyes. I mean, it is an investment.
Yep.
Do you feel, what do you feel the economic breakdown is per hour of your enjoyment in the park, using that $12.50 as a scale in movies? And do you think, and if you can't answer that, which you probably can't.
I probably can't.
Do you think it's worth it?
No, I don't. Not now. Like, now that I have a mortgage and all that stuff, like before, I could easily drop the money for season passes for the whole family.
Yeah.
Now,
what would that put you back? Because it depends on what level of pass you get.
Yeah. $1,200. Because I need it. Well, in this year, it'll go up to $1,500.
How many hours would you generally spend in the park?
10, and we would go probably
per visit. You would spend 10 hours, all four of you.
Oh, well, on average, it's probably five hours, 5 to 6 hours.
We'll call it six.
And then occasionally we would have like a 10-hour trip.
Okay, we'll call it 7 just on average. And how many times would you go in a year?
At least 6 or 7 if I have the passes.
We'll go all the way up. So we'll say 7, that's 49 hours times there are 4 of you.
Uh-huh.
So that's 196. We'll just round that up to a clean 200 hours. We'll say you spend 200 hours and you drop $1,200 on passes.
So it's, that's $200 an hour.
Yeah, it's $200 an hour. Right?
Yeah.
That's what you're willing to pay for entertainment.
Not anymore.
Or is it $6 an hour?
That's when I had expendable income.
I think it's $6 an hour.
No.
6 times $200 is $1,200.
6 times 200?
We said it was 200 hours total.
Uh-huh. 6 times...
Times 6 equals $1,200. So you're breaking down $6 an hour.
No, I'm there for 6 to 7 hours, I thought.
That's what.
People math doing math live is not. Bah. Does not your intelligence reflect well?
No. Because it was, you said we broke it down to 200 hours total.
Uh-huh.
Is how many hours you as individuals in total spend in the park per year.
So if
and
you
it costs you $1,200 to be in the park.
So it is six. It's not six.
Six. Yeah. It's $6 an hour. So that's not bad.
That's not bad.
Plus all the snacks, parking, gas, blah, 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 blah. You're probably up to $10. So you're probably beating the system. You're all right.
No.
You don't think so?
No, I don't. Well, here's the thing. I mean, they're making money off of me because I'm not the guy who brings food with me. I'm very cheap, but I don't like doing that stuff. Like, my wife always wants to bring a thing of food in there. I'm like, why? They have food there. And she's like, but it costs so much money. I'm like, I don't care. I don't care about that part. Like,
oh, yeah, you are the problem.
Yeah, I don't, like, I would much rather just not have to carry things.
Yeah.
Because this is what I don't understand. Disneyland is a place you go to have fun. But in order to have that fun, you have to move like an ancient nomadic person of, like a tribal people moving across the great plains of our fair country. You have to carry a hefty pack of grapes and string cheese and juice boxes so you can have 5 hours of good time. Or you could carry a tiny little thin piece of plastic and eat whatever the hell you want and just pay for it later.
It is far more fun that way.
Right?
It's definitely true.
I've dropped $200 on a meal at Disneyland,
mm-hmm.
at least $200 on one singular meal, and it's just because I wanted to try something there.
What did you try?
It was that barbecue. They have an all-you-can-eat barbecue place.
Where?
It's in the near Thunder Mountain Railroad in the back.
Oh, that's
there.
Cool.
It's Big Thunder Barbecue.
The best $12 I ever spent in Disneyland was in the Blue Sky Cellar, which faces Cars Land in California Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a glass of wine while I was waiting for our table, because you can have alcohol in California Adventure, and sat in there and watched I've never seen it before or since, 3-minute animated short based on the Cars universe that explained the bridge between the movie and the park. It explains the history of Radiator Springs and what it means. It's kind of similar to the Mater's Tall Tales.
Is it intended like, welcome to Cars Land?
No.
If you haven't seen the movie.
No, it's like, it's just a little animated short. It's like a two-ish minute animated short. It just plays on a loop in the room again. And it's like, did you see the Mater's Tall Tales animated stuff that was on Netflix?
Yeah, little shorts.
It's like that, a little shorter than that. But, And it gives a little time travel thing. You go back in time and meet the beginning of Radiator Springs. But I sat there with my glass of wine after walking around the theme park all day. Totally
by yourself?
Exhausted. No, with my wife.
Okay.
And I got a little buzzed watching this never-before gem of a cartoon in the middle of the Blue Sky Cellar next to Cars Land, one of the coolest places on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that is a good use of $12.
So, yeah, so let me put it back on you. Are the season passes worth it to you?
No.
Do you get your dollar?
Not even close.
No.
I can't justify that at all.
All right.
Maybe if I didn't have a mortgage or my equivalent, not enough money.
A rent, yeah.
I would consider it would be a value, but it is such a... We would always spend time trying to figure out, because we got the passes for free. They were a gift to us, and then we upgraded to the next level on our own dime, but that's like pennies to dollars. So we never could have afforded them on our own. And then we made it our goal to go once a month. So we used to, I think by the end, we had done it 11 times out of the year. But most of those times we tried to do it without having to pay for parking, which adds up considerably when you go. And so we would either plan to squeeze it down to 4 hours or get lunch in downtown Disney and then get a free parking pass, which gets you 6 hours for less money than parking. So we had it all worked out. You took us once.
Mm-hmm.
We had a friend pay for parking once. But most of the time, then there was one time where we finally got in. We got to park for free. We walked around in the evening. I think it was the day after my birthday. We spent which is right around Christmas. And we spent the entire, we were so proud of ourselves. We spent $0. We had brought water. We didn't need food because it was dinner. It was after dinner. We had spent no money. And as we were walking out, we passed by the store that had all these Christmas ornaments with Disney themed on it and dropped like $100.
Good.
It might have been 50. Still, because we were like, we haven't spent any money.
They broke those water fountains.
And we both, like, we each got two ornaments. Oh, it was the worst. they're geniuses over there.
Well, there's an element, too, of the season pass that kind of takes away. Like, when I went, I was 5. And then when I went again, I was damn near 18.
Mm-hmm.
And I went with my now wife. And we went to kind of help out with her sister's kids kind of thing.
Yeah.
And she was like she had been a couple times, and it was like it's a big thing in her family, like Disney, like they have collections, and they know about the vault. And I didn't know anything about that.
So the vault, yeah, the vault of Disney movies,
yes,
yeah,
and how things come in and out of the vault, whatever.
Right.
And so
magic.
Anyway, so I like she's looking at me, she's like, wow, and because I kind of became a kid again, but I'm an 18-year-old, boy, and I don't know, it was just weird like that, so. now that I go, though, it is, as a family man, like, I like that my kids go and we get to have fun. And but really what it does is it gives me that opportunity that I go there and I don't have, it's like a mini vacation.
Uh-huh.
And because it's in my backyard, it's someplace I could go.
No, you have an elementary school now, in your backyard.
Now I have an elementary school and a backyard, which is kind of my point as to
and
why
Gamerland.
I will not be purchasing a season pass this coming year unless my wife tricks me into doing it somehow that I don't understand. But
which she's done before.
Yeah, she's very capable. Usually she just has to cry and she gets whatever she wants. But which is so funny that it does not work for my children. But but anyway, why is it so funny?
It was so sincere and just to pass it off. Like, she just cries and she gets whatever she
wants. It's the truth. I've told her many times. Yeah. I said, you have a power over me, but here's the problem. With great power comes great responsibility. Yeah. That if you abuse this power, you no longer have it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she has moments where she cries now, and it's like, all right.
I learned I apparently...
That's why I have a second child. Jack is alive because his mother cried.
That's fair. Well, his brother's alive because your dad had a heart attack, so...
She didn't cry for that. So that
but I'm saying that yeah. you have two heartstrings.
I'd make no decisions on my own, is what you're saying.
Yeah. They're all based on things. What can I get out of you? I learned I have that power over my wife just simply by wanting something a lot. That's why I own Skylanders.
Yeah.
That's why I own all of my Skylanders, because yeah. she was like... Okay, here you can go buy that. You can go spend $70 on a children's toy.
Yeah, she really loves to give you what you want.
I know, it's great. She'll even tell me, "You're my kryptonite. Here's your Skylanders." I hate to see you wanting things.
That's sweet.
It's pretty nice. It's nice.
My wife does not have that.
Yeah.
She's not.
She will. I do appreciate how she will go get you games, though. I've seen the evolution.
Your
of
wife
your
buys me games.
Yes, it's been great. I've seen the evolution of your relationship, and I was impressed the day that you told Natalie to go to the store and pick up a particular video game for you.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was not Natalie 10 years ago, that you could have done that, that she would have been capable of it, that she would have done it.
That's
for
true.
You, that she would have liked to do it. But she was like, he wants it, it's his money, I'll go. And you know, she came back with the right game.
Yeah.
Which is also 10
remember
year
old. When she bought me the Xbox 360 and bought me the Madden game that was for Xbox?
Yes, I do.
Oh, that was funny.
And she was mad because the 360 one was $60 and the one she bought was only $50, and she's yeah. like, oh damn it. I was like, you could clearly see. Yeah. I don't know, my mother-in-law, I was recently telling her, I was trying to explain why they wanted a PlayStation 3 to watch Blu-ray movies on their new LCD screen, and she said, I said, do you know what a Blu-ray
yes,
is?
I love the story.
And she said, yes, it's a DVD in a blue box, which I said, all right, the sale is lost. I know when to stop. So when I think of like the Xbox and the Xbox 360 games, they were very different. They
yes.
were clearly very different. The Xbox games were bright green.
Yep.
They had a black cover. It said Xbox. The 360 games are in those white covers. They very white. Xbox
but don't you feel like there's also like a new generation of guys that work in the GameStop that before it was just a retail job?
Mm-hmm.
And now I feel like a gamer works at that place. Does that make sense?
I prefer. I've been to a few where I've met some ladies. I've never met a dude that that's worked behind that. That's not a gamer. Mm. But I've been back. I've been to GameStop and met a couple of girls that don't like
games. I wish
games.
I could get them on this show. I've tried four times.
The
now.
Girls that don't like games?
No, I've tried to get the people that work at GameStop.
You need
come
to go
on
to.
Show.
You should go to the one at Universal Studios.
Oh, okay.
Because that place has got that. That's the place that's got the life-size statue. Because
I've told
of Skyrim.
Them. I mean, I'm ruining it now, but nothing really. Like this is what I love is that I went there the first time, and the guy was. Well, I think he was a manager. He's like, well, you know, we represent a corporation. Nobody cares about you and what you're doing, and. Oh, so you're gonna lose your $13 an hour job?
And who's gonna listen to this? That's gonna fire you from that.
But here's the thing: they don't know that.
Yeah.
As far as they know, they go podcast with Sly Cooper, right? That's
yeah.
what they hear. So they go, oh, maybe it's huge, and then they but
and it is
like right.
We have 50,000 listeners.
Thank you. That I
I'm
just don't. Here's what I don't understand. I don't understand. It's really what's at stake, like. And I don't know if I'm being
fear
unfair.
Fear of the man.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm being unfair, but I just feel like, not that obviously the show is, but it's like, how much do you love? Maybe they get free games or something, and that's
no,
why.
It's just fear. It's just fear.
Yeah.
They were told they can't do that. They don't understand.
It reminds me of when I used to work at AAA, and they wanted us to give these credit applications out, and I very quickly realized that the only expectation that they really had was that they were gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I started giving them four at a time to a guest. I go, here you go, and if you make a mistake, here's some more.
Yeah.
And then I noticed that they didn't think about that even being a thing, and they would go, oh my gosh, you're already halfway through your stack. That's amazing. And they were just thoroughly impressed. So I just started taking the stack after a half hour to an hour and throwing it away. And then the next day, because I got four stacks of them and yeah. tossed them, the next day at the little morning meeting that they have before we'd open, they go, Justin really was giving out a lot of credit applications. And our friend Teresa, who's also been on the show, our friend Teresa was sitting right next to me and saw me doing it. I was really only doing it to like make her laugh through frustration at my lack of caring.
Yeah.
And then now I'm being hailed. Like everybody should be doing what he's doing. And I wish that they would have said, Justin, tell us your secret.
Ah.
I throw them away.
Ah.
No, I do.
Ah.
You could go look in the trash.
Okay, that's great.
I mean, they're recycled. I'm not completely
just
a jerk.
Please remember to not eat donuts on the floor.
Exactly. It's like, come on.
Food is only for the break room. And
one guy saw me looking at MySpace for when I was starting my stand-up career, and he was like, what are you going to do if they catch you doing that? I go, they're probably going to ask me to stop.
That's probably it.
And they go, well, what are you going to... They go, and then I go, I'll stop until they leave.
Yeah.
Like, and I remember another time I was connecting paper clips for Teresa. She was gone at training, so she had a little cup of paper. So I connected all of them so that when she picked up one, she got a ball of them.
Yeah.
So I spent probably 45 minutes just connecting. And my supervisor, like there were two other people ahead of her. She goes, is that the best use of your time right now? I said, yeah. She had no answer to that. She had nothing. She goes, okay.
All right. And you still work there the next day.
Throwing papers away. They don't fire people.
Yeah. So the folks over at GameStop, I don't know what they think they're going to say that would compromise their company.
Yeah.
They could get on here and talk about how much they love working for GameStop.
Right.
Talk about how much they love games. GameStop would love that. Of course they want.
Maybe it's because they think of like that everything is like TMZ and that we want to find the dirty, seedy underbelly of GameStop.
I think somewhere they
I just want to hear, like, I want to hear what everybody assumes that other people like them are going into GameStop.
Yeah.
And I want to know, like, what's some crazy, like, or I want to hear somebody freaking out about the new Call of Duty game and a midnight release. Like, I want to talk about what the dynamic is of that and what's good about the job and what's bad about the job. And it doesn't necessarily have to be like it's horrible, but it's just like, this is the frustrating part.
We're going to show up at 11 a.m. on a Tuesday morning when the thing first opened, just walk in with our mics and be like talking. Go.
Can we bring this desk? It's really comfortable.
Yeah,
I like these arms that we have now. Yeah, we're like good. A morning show right now.
I like it. Can I just put the arms on the backpack?
We should post a picture of our studio on the Facebook so that they could see.
I'll do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish I could get them on here because I would really like to be able to. When you said that got me onto that little tangent was that there are some pretty cute chicks that work there.
The one in Empire Center is all dudes.
You got to go in there when they're chicks. There's a couple chicks that I think, there's one in particular. I hope she's still there. But the last time, I've asked her twice, and she said she was like, yeah. Hmm. But it's almost like now I feel like she's a booth babe, and she's just like, yeah, whatever you want to hear, big guy.
Yeah.
Why don't you buy a used copy of a game for me? And it's like, I'm curious to, like, I would like to be able to, it made me think of like, man, that would be a thing that I would have liked to have done before I got married. And that is a GameStop employee. That's not the way that sentence was supposed to end, but it's when you changed the look on your face. That's how it came out.
I'm like, wow, this is fantasy.
No, I'm saying
land.
That just the idea of having a relationship. I don't know that I could be married to someone who games. I don't know. I really, because I'm married to someone who doesn't. But just the idea of that being a possibility and just having... dip my toe in that water.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. I think of Harry Potter whenever I think of this. I think of Harry Potter most of the time. If I'm not thinking about Disneyland, I'm thinking about Harry Potter. So
when does Skylanders fit in?
Oh, yeah, one third of the time. I have
so like, you have three. So there's three, right? And then how? What? Like it's probably like a very small piece of pie in your pie chart of thought.
Well, the problem is
of hatred towards Minecraft.
Yeah, there's that. Yeah, the problem is that I have like nine different pies all stacked on top of each other that
you
see. So it's like
it's like Star Trek chess.
I have 900% because of this. It's like it's actually a tube of pie.
You are a robot. The cooler phrase is you are a machine.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. I'll take both. Yeah. I'll take both. Transdimensional thinking.
Is my nose bleeding because I think you just blew up my brain?
No, but your headphones are inside out.
What?
How is that a thing? What was it talking about?
A third of the time you think about
Harry Potter. So there's this great moment in book four where Harry finally gets to hook up with Cho Chang, who he's been lamenting, he's been pining after for
that
several...
That is the half-prince of Azkaban.
No. She is the Chinese woman, yes, that's a seeker on the Ravenclaw team. Mm-hmm. And he's had this crush on her forever. And so he finally gets to go on Valentine's Day. He takes her on a date down to Hogsmeade, and they're sitting around. And so on the walk down there, he's been nervous about it the entire time. What are they going to talk about? What can they talk about? Because he thinks she's pretty. He has very limited actual interactions with her. He has very little in common, but whatever that thing is, he's just Twitter-pated and attracted. And we've all had that moment in our younger years. We've had it in our adult years where you're like, I'm into you and I don't know why. And there's no common ground. So there's this great thing where it says on the walk down to Hogsmeade, they have an easy, light, simple conversation about their common ground, which is playing Quidditch, that the conversation flows easily, yeah, and things are great. And then they get down there and then drama ensues and they don't actually end up hooking up. And then
spoiler alert,
that book came out like 12 years ago.
I am a slow reader.
There's a movie about it.
Oh,
that scene is actually in the movie.
They made a movie, that thing in Florida.
Yeah. So I think it's a good example of like they had a common ground. Like he didn't know what they were going to talk about. He thought she was hot. Then they had a common thing to discuss, which was Quidditch, that they both enjoyed. But push came to shove, the personalities were dramatically different, and mm-hmm, they came at life in very different ways, and they were not a good match for each other. I think that's what would have happened.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that you would have been like, it's great. I've got somebody to play games with, someone to talk to. She's really fun to kiss and make out, touch, and all that. It's pretty great. But actually, like, that's only like, I don't know, 25% of your life together is the physical stuff and then, you know, the games you can play. But they're like,
not me. I'm a man of passion.
All right. So let's say 60%. But
no,
they're like, what
90,
are you
10.
What are you doing? You're
I
sitting
barely here? Say words to my wife. Talk to her in the language of love.
And then
I have children and then our marriage would fall apart.
Oh, that's true.
Because there's no time for physical touch with your kids.
No, just it's inappropriate physical touch.
Yeah.
Let me show you. Well, there's so many things that I'm glad. If we had been drinking, I would have just shared several inappropriate stories. when the mics are off, which is our new show.
Yeah. That's our premium episode. That's how we make money on this.
I'll have to have some people sign some waivers.
Yeah. That's funny.
So yeah, I mean, you've experienced that in your dating life, right? Where you're like, this person, it seems like they'd be fun or whatever.
No, because I dated when I was a kid.
So did I. That's what I'm. So did Harry Potter.
But maybe I've jumped the gun on your statement. But I had girls that I'm like, yes, this will be the one that I'll marry. Just
because I felt
like we had enough in common.
No, my point was that without the tools to know any better, once you got into, you're like, oh, this isn't actually an interesting person. I was into them for the wrong reasons. I came to the resolution somewhere in my mid-20s, maybe late-20s, that my wife did not have to be my best friend, because honestly, mm-hmm, I had you. I was like, oh, it's okay if she doesn't play video games, because I have friends that hold that part. A wife will probably need to do other things that my friends cannot do, and that's going to be okay.
I can do everything, Kat Ken. Everything.
Really?
I could give you a child.
Okay.
I will.
I don't want any of
yours.
It'd
be better if you had a daughter. This would be even funnier. I could give you a son.
That's true. You could give me a daughter, which is all I ever wanted.
I could only make boys.
Man, did I really. I wanted a daughter so bad, and my son is so awesome. That's a different show, though, too.
All right.
How many shows do you got?
Yeah.
So let's see. We talked about video games. Right?
And Disneyland video games, and then Disneyland art and making.
And PS Vitas.
And yeah.
Where would Batman be in Disneyland?
Ooh, not Tomorrowland. That's where you would expect him. He would be on Tom Sawyer Island.
I was thinking that same thing.
Right?
Yeah.
Batcave-esque. Mm-hmm. Lots of places to hide because mm-hmm, he would not be hanging out on the beaten path.
Yeah, yeah.
There's plenty of places. He would probably... And if he had to fight crime in Disneyland, it would have to be to keep teenagers from copulating on Pirate Island.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's probably true.
Because I feel like there's a lot of, you know, and, oh, why am I not doing that as a married man? Getting off that path, finding a little patch of wood. And
good luck. They got cameras everywhere over
there.
That's
what I'm talking about. Put that on the interweb.
Later, I think it still exists, the website that has all the pictures of people flashing the camera at Disneyland on the way down on Splash Mountain. Yeah, now I know what you're doing for the rest of the night. I've heard rumors that
you just
exists.
Canceled this podcast, my friend. Because I will never need to see the light of day again. Because here's what I want. I just want to see, mid-20s C-cup right behind toddler. Mm. You know what I mean? Toddler going, I'm so scared. I'm like, dude, if you could just turn around.
That's right there.
It would feel like home again.
It's right there. I think Batman is systematically going around the entire park trying to dismantle it because from his eyes, Disney is the enemy.
Oh.
Because he's a DC and that's a Marvel.
Oh, now
Disney.
They own Marvel.
Yeah, so
wow, he went like, really deep on that.
Do you think that was pretty obvious?
No,
so he's like,
no.
He's like he's in one
that's
ride
very
like
meta to me,
unloosening a bolt in Space Mountain, and then he's going around.
And then when they see him, he just jumps around from gargoyle to gargoyle,
and they're like, I don't know where he went.
Yeah,
he's like, I'm Batman. I'm better than Iron Man.
Send us an email to show@GamerlandPodcast.com, or you can send us questions to questions@GamerlandPodcast.com. Of course, we will get to questions eventually. Follow us on the Twitter @GamerlandPod, Facebook.com/GamerlandPodcast. But the big one is Facebook.com/IWantSlyCooper in his own animated series. I'm going to Betty White this bitch and make it happen. And let's be honest, guys. I feel like the fact that we haven't already Betty White'd the hell out of it means that we're kind of failing.
Yeah.
And we need everybody just to pick
Betty
it up
White a notch. Is scorning down on us from heaven.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to kill Betty White if we don't get turned.
Oh, she's still alive?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What's the only thing keeping her alive is her work. And that's what you're going to kill Kevin Miller if you don't turn this into
Betty
an animated
White.
Series. And Betty White. And so there. On behalf
way
of
to
my,
shame him. Good
on
job.
Behalf of my new friend Kevin Miller, this is Just Worship saying, okay, bye.